two birds suddenly appear. Every time you are near, just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you are by?
You are by,
just like me,
just like me,
they long to be close to you.
Together
and decided to create
a dream come
true. So they sprinkled gold dust in your hair and golden starlight in your eyes are blue. That is why all the guys in town follow you all around, just like
and
me,
just like me.
Love to be close to you. Together and decided to create a dream
come true.
So they sprinkle moon dust in your hair and golden starlight in your eyes of blue. That is why all the guys in town
follow you
all around, just like me.
Just like
welcome to Unity. Just a few announcements, and I have my helper here. There are openings to help staff the Unity Minneapolis booth at Twin Cities Pride Festival next weekend. So that's in Loring Park. If you feel called, go ahead and sign up in the Garden Court. You have an insert in your bulletin that talks about the John of God Crystal Light Healing Bed. So on Thursday, there's going to be a movie to talk about the life of John of God, and then a discussion which explains it, and then there's instructions on your insert for how to sign up for sessions with that healing bed. So look for more information there. Next Sunday is Reverend Patty Day. We're celebrating her work and her life. She is moving on to be a senior minister at a Unity in Salem, Oregon. We wish her well, and we're going to spend all next Sunday just sharing that with her. Yay. On Wednesday, June 28th, we're going to join area churches to do Summer Kid Pack, which helps provide nourishing snacks to kids from three Robbinsdale schools, and will stay until there are 1,900 kid packs done. So look for ways to sign up for that out in the Garden Court. And then the next segment of the Enlightened Leaders program will be on Monday evening, July 17th, Spiritual Leaders as Coach, Bringing Out the Best in Others. Sign up sheets are there for that out there as well. While you're there in the Garden Court, if you don't receive the Peak of the Week, you can sign up for that. And lots of other information for all the activities that we've just been talking about are out there. Now, if you would, take out your electronic devices, and we want to silence them to give each other the joy of the service. But be first, if you feel called to, why don't you check in on Facebook or one of your other places and let them know that they're welcome here. And now Reverend Pat will lead us in prayer.
Join me in prayer. I invite you to go to that place within your heart and within your mind where you know and you feel God's presence this morning. Thank you, God, for fathers and those who play the role of fathers, including women. Thank you, God, for the divine masculine energy that is within us all. Today is a special time as we pause and we give thanks for our own fathers and fathers throughout the world. We bless them for all that they have done in the past and all that they will do in the future. We are truly grateful. Thank you, God, for fathers and the divine masculine within us all. And we say thank you. And so it is. Amen. This is a beautiful Minnesota day. This is one of the reasons why I live here. Let's applaud this day. The value that we're emphasizing this month is the value of loving. And this congregation has defined loving as sharing genuine warmth, care, and affection in all actions. This congregation says that we demonstrate loving in the following ways. We actively express love through sacred service. We honor and encourage each person's unique spiritual journey through loving words and loving actions. Now let's affirm together our core values listed in your order of service. Our core values together. We are loving, transforming, welcoming, spirit-filled, prosperous, and joyful. And our vision together, centered in spirit, we celebrate a world transformed by love, peace, and compassion. And now our mission together. We are a vibrant, inclusive, prosperous spiritual community, inspiring and empowering full expression of the divine within through prayer, education, and service. Inviting our on-duty Unity prayer chaplains to please stand. These individuals arrived early. They held sacred space in this beautiful sanctuary. And today they're here to hold that sacred space with you, to listen with the ears of their heart, to pray aloud with you, and then to hold what they have heard in the strictest of confidence. So today, if you have a prayer request, by all means, seek out a Unity prayer chaplain. Thank you for your service, and you may be seated. Our opening song this morning is one of my favorites, I Gotta Be Me, I Gotta Be Me. Let's stand and sing that together.
Hey, I'm gonna give you a heads up when we get to the very end. The last note is gonna be short, like me. Got it? Yeah.
Got it.
Here we go.
Whether I'm right, or whether I'm wrong, or whether I find a place in this world or never belong,
yeah,
I've gotta be me. Survive. And I won't give up this dream of life that keeps me alive. I gotta be me. I gotta be me. The dream that I see makes me what I am. That far away rise. What you gonna do?
I won't settle down.
Neither will I.
Won't settle for less.
Doing my best.
As long as there's a chance
that I can have it all. that's how it must be. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. I've got to be free. I've got to be free. Daring to try to do it. I can't be right for somebody else if I'm not right for me. Hey, I gotta be free. I gotta be free. Daring to try to do it or die. I gotta be me.
Whoa. It was so much fun watching you. Lori, did you notice some of them? They were out here like this.
Yes.
Just got, they were, come on up to the platform. You know, wow, wow. You know, Unity is that open and welcoming, inclusive community. They're one of our favorite things to do here each and every Sunday morning is to acknowledge our guest. So today, if you're with us for the first, second, or third time, we want to honor your presence. Allow us to do so, please. We invite you, if you would, just to take your courage in your hand and raise your hand as I raise my hand. Calling all courage out there. We've got courage out there. Keep your hands up, please. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. Keep your hands up, please, until our ushers get to you. That packet of information you're receiving tells you a lot about Unity Minneapolis. It also has a welcoming CD there. Also, there's a pink card in that packet, and if you choose to fill out any part of that card, turn that into our book desk at our bookstore. We have a gift for you. The rose is a gift from our congregation so that we can easily recognize you and give you a very special, special welcome. All of us important, and yet one of the most important things that's said on this platform each and every Sunday morning is this, and that is, my dear friends, wherever you are on your spiritual journey, wherever that may be, you are welcome here. We welcome you, we bless you, and we behold the living presence of the divine within you. We also welcome those that are streaming with us today for the first time. Thank you for being with us today, knowing that there's no distance in spirit. Let's appreciate these marvelous guests, okay? Of course, we enjoy greeting each other. We do it each and every Sunday morning with a smile, a handshake, a hug, namaste. We always ask before we, let's rock and roll. Let's do that, okay? And if you're able, so I invite us to remain standing for this next song. It really is a simple song. As you can see, it's "The God in Me Beholds the God in You, Namaste." It really reflects our teachings of that presence of the divine within. So let's sing to each other this morning, okay? Oh, I know that's a stretch for some of you, including me at times, but we're gonna sing to each other. Lead us, Lori. Thank you.
Beautiful.
gonna stay. The God in me beholds the God in you. Namaste. All is beautiful.
Of the daily word and the singing of the Lord's Prayer. As the usher brings down the prayer box, you're invited to mentally add your prayers to the written requests in the box. After the service, the prayer box is located in the garden court, where you may add your written requests. Your prayers are then prayed with by our prayer ministry for 7 days, and then they are forwarded to Silent Unity, where they're prayed with for an additional 30 days. The word for today is Father's blessing. God bless all fathers and fathers to be. A beloved and often repeated prayer by individuals and in groups begins, Our Father. There is both great responsibility and reward in playing the role of a father. Encouraging confidence in young ones calls for a parent to be present in all stages of children's lives. Often it's not until after years of being present, sometimes when kids think they are smarter than adults, that fathers are appreciated for their wisdom and devotion. A prayer is a powerful way to bless fathers. God, bless fathers with all they need to be wise and loving parents. And perhaps a prayer is even more immediate when a father or a father-to-be prays. God, guide me in being a father that enriches the lives of my children. And 1 Chronicles 17, I will be a father to him, and he shall be a son to me. I will not take my steadfast love from him, as I took it from him who was before me. The word for today is Father's blessing.
So I invite you to join me in meditation. And if you've not done so, I invite you just to gently close your eyes, shutting out the outside world. And begin to bring your attention inward to that place within that only you can go. Let us take a deep breath together, and as we do, we know our oneness with Spirit. We know our oneness with each other. For we are all together in this mind of God. So I invite you to surrender again. Surrender again to that infinite, invisible Spirit within. Feel that presence this morning. The presence of peace, comfort, love. And on this Father's Day, if you choose to do so, bring to the mirror of your mind a picture of your Father. The relationship. Just let it gently rest there without judging it. And regardless of the relationship that you had or that you have with this man, give thanks for the fact that he was chosen to be part of bringing you into this expression of being, this expression of life. And yes, you perhaps even chose this man to give you life for your own life lessons. Now, seeing this man imaged in the mirror of your mind, bless him, for you truly have the power to bless. And now, bring to the mirror of your mind someone that has been a father figure to you. You know who that someone is. Someone that has played the role of father for you and to you. Now give thanks for this relationship as well. Bless it and release it. And now, with hearts full of love and gratitude, I invite you to rest for a moment in the stillness and in the quiet and in the peace. Thank you, sweet Spirit, for the stillness and the quiet. Thank you, Spirit, for fathers. Father, our fathers, but also fathers throughout the world. And this morning, we pray with those that have requested our prayers, represented by our prayer box, the electronic mail, the cards and the letters we've received this week. We hold each of these prayer requests in a consciousness of prayer, a consciousness of love, giving thanks for answered prayer. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen.
Say goodbye. You can't find a star if you don't look up in the sky. And you can't find the light if you don't know where the dark ends. And you can't change the heroes and friends. If you don't first carry a flame, you can't take the weight of a single ounce of shame. You can't change the signal, you can change the message it sends, the message of heroes and friends. The screen, it can take the place of love. You can disappear in ether when pushes come to shove. You can walk the night into the dawn and back again. Look
Why do we dedicate our lives to what's left in the end when all we want is heroes and thank you, Dane. Thank you very much. This morning, we have three men that will be speaking this Father's Day. And one I have known for 11 years and has been such a dynamic, powerful mentor to me, has supported me in ways that you cannot imagine as being the senior minister here in this church. It's amazing. Our relationship has grown. It has helped me. He has helped me tremendously. And he loves this community. He loves this community. The other two men that are that will be speaking this morning, one makes me sound great on Sunday morning. You can have marvelous things to say, but if you can't hear me, that's another challenge. And I don't always have marvelous things to say, but sometimes I do. And so, Todd Smith, I thank you for making me sound great on Sunday morning. The other one is a great drummer. He's with us every Sunday morning, and I like to call him my, I've called him many things. I like to call him, I like to call him my sidekick. He always makes my joke, he always has the right punch for my jokes, and I appreciate that. But I want to introduce our first speaker this morning. Dr. Mike Obstad is Professor Emeritus from McAllister College, where he taught sociology and education courses for over 40 years. He's a mentor. He is the founder, one of the co-founders of the Men's Group, Men's Group leader. He's a presenter. He's the author of at least three books. He has been at Unity for 29 years, and he co-created and really put forth a tremendous amount of energy for our Men's Group that is still going on today. His books are Raising Nonviolent Children, From Stalemate to Soulmate, and Healing Our Anger. He says that he is indeed blessed and lucky to be married to Gloria Smith, and I'll vouch for that. And they have six children and seven grandchildren. Please welcome Dr. Mike Obstad.
Beloved spiritual community, and happy Father's Day. And thanks, Reverend Pat, for inviting me to speak. No jokes, I promise. Being a father is an amazing spiritual experience. The five Unity principles tell us how to be authentic, loving fathers. There is one presence and one power of God, and God is our protector and guide, and there is nothing to fear. Principle two, the Christ within. This principle emphasizes our self-worth and our spiritual potential. We hold the Christ within all people, including our children and our grandchildren. The third principle, the law of mind action, tells us that cause precedes effect. This means that our children will respond to being praised and encouraged. Fourth, through denials and affirmations, we affirm that we and our children are whole, healthy, and joyful. And fifth, the principle of prayer and meditation reminds us that God dwells inside of us, our children, and all of creation. We've invited Peter Hennig and Todd Smith to speak with us today, Father's Day. The theme for the series is I've Gotta Be Me, and they're going to share some of their stories about being new, authentic fathers. They are a wonderful part of our church community and provide musical and sound and light support for us where would we be without them? Peter, get on the drums. What does it mean to be an authentic father? Authentic dads can nurture and support the growth and development of healthy, self-aware children. By being who they are, dads can offer their children the greatest gift of all, that of trusting. Trusting God, trusting themselves, trusting life, and trusting those who love them. So, how is being a father an amazing spiritual experience? Being supportive during the pregnancy is a magical gift. Participating in the birthing process is a sacred event. Teaching a child how to live in love is a creative spiritual opportunity. Loving one's child, adolescent, or adult child unconditionally is expressing the divine within. Watching a child grow into maturity is a miraculous witnessing. And letting go of the need to control a child's development is an exercise in trust. I'm blessed to be a father and a grandfather. I'm continually reminded that my children are not my children. So it is important to let go and let God. Khalil Gibran wrote a beautiful poem called On Children. He wrote, "Your children are not your children. They are the sons and daughters of life's longing for itself. They come through you, but not from you. And though they are with you, yet they belong not to you. You may give them your love, but not your thoughts, for they have their own thoughts. You may house their bodies, but not their souls, for their souls dwell in the house of tomorrow, which you cannot visit even in your dreams. You may strive to be like them, but seek not to make them like you. For life goes not backward nor tarries with yesterday. You are the bows from which your children as living arrows are sent forth. Let your bending in the archer's hand be for gladness. For even as God loves the arrow that flies, so God loves the bow that is stable." So what are the greatest gifts a father can give a son or a daughter? One thing is to help them tune into their GPS, God protection system. So fathers can teach their children life navigational skills, how to cope, how to handle things, how to deal with losses and breakups and betrayals, how to handle new and unfamiliar situations, coping with illness, how to develop healthy attitudes toward money, spending, and saving, how to express anger in constructive ways, how to choose good friends, dealing with others who might tease or bully you, how to show love for others, and how to take good care of your mind and body. These are just a few of the navigational life skills that fathers can teach their children. Barbara Coloroso, author of Kids Are Worth It, says that all children benefit from hearing these encouraging affirmations. I love you. I believe in you. I will listen to you. I will care for you. I will support your growing independence. I will share whatever wisdom I have learned with you. I believe you can handle life's challenges. I know you are resourceful and resilient. I trust you. And this one, you are very important to me. Children receive these messages through our words, our actions, and our spiritual practices. So what do I know for sure? It is important for me to trust that my children and grandchildren will be guided by divine law and the five unity principles. My role is to be there to support them on their journeys, to listen, to love, to let go, and to learn. Maya, age 10, is the granddaughter of Gloria and myself. She mentioned to us one day that she had no problem double dipping her potato chips. We told her it was not a very good idea because of germs. And she said, "Well, actually, what difference does it make? We're all one anyway." That sums it up pretty well. I love you, I bless you, and I behold the Christ in you. Thank you. And now you're invited to hear stories from Peter and Todd about being a father.
Hello, everybody. I'm Peter Hennig, if you don't know that already. I'm usually over there. And I'm going to promise to keep this like a good drum solo. Short and to the point. Thanks to Reverend Pat, and Michael, and you guys for allowing me the opportunity to speak this morning. I have two beautiful daughters, Edith Olivia, who is 3.5 years old, and Thea Louise, who is just over 5 months old. So I'm still kind of new at this fatherhood thing. Before I get into my experiences as a father, I'm going to take you way back to the late 70s when I came along and share some memories with you of my father. My very first memory that I have of my dad was him peeking over the crib and actually looking at me. And he had dark wavy hair and a really dark beard, which I don't know, I missed that gene, I guess. But I just remember him smiling and saying some things that I couldn't understand because I was really tiny. It seemed like immediately after that, I was sort of his project partner. And I would always be handing him a wrench or some kind of tool while he would be fixing the family car or taking on some project. That seemed to be like a bulk of my memories as a child. Right around that time, I also have some memories of him dealing with post-traumatic stress syndrome, being a Vietnam veteran, and his battles with alcoholism. And there were some very interesting times, one in particular where, if you remember the old bike seats that they used to put on the bikes where the toddler could ride behind, he took me out, set me on a park bench at a park, and rode away. I was three. And I did not know what was going on, and of course I tried to walk and find him, and it turned out that he was at a bar, and this was midday. So from there, things didn't get much better, and by the time I was nine, my mom told my dad, "You need to get help, or we're going to get a divorce, and I'm taking Peter." And my dad actually did get help. It still really wasn't enough to save the marriage, and my parents ended up splitting when I was about 10. So after that, I stayed with my mom primarily, and I did not see my dad much until into my mid-20s. So fast forward to 2013, Rachel and I were expecting our first daughter, Edith. She seemed to just dive right into this whole motherhood thing. She was like a super mom, just eating all organic food, watching several movies, reading several books on the subject. I just remember when we were in birthing class, they would show a movie and Rachel could say, "Oh, we've seen that one. Oh, I have that book." So my experience was definitely being there to support her, but I really didn't know how to bond with this little bump in my wife's tummy. It wasn't until the day Edith was born that maybe the minute she was born, I heard her cry out. And I still can't quite explain it, but just hearing her voice for the first time, it felt like a family member that I had known my whole life. And it instantly grabbed me, like I felt connected and that I needed to be there for this little life that needed me. So I was, and I've been a stay-at-home dad with my daughter for the last 3.5 years. I'm a freelance musician by night, so is my wife. So that's a very interesting dynamic. There's a lot of sacrifice. our Rachel is my wife. Our kind of take on the world attitude is sort of like changed to let's take on this temper tantrum, get Edith to bed, clean the kitchen, and maybe watch 15 minutes of a TV show together. But we find a way. I have to say that it's really been enriching for me to be with my daughter that much. The everyday kind of mundane things that I used to take for granted, like going to the grocery store or just going for a simple walk, when my daughter's with me, it's kind of amazing. She notices things that I would never notice. She asks me questions. She's excited about things. One thing she said was, "Dad, if you look up at the sky, you can see forever." Yes, you can. And another one was, "Dad, noodle is not a color." I guess it's not. So I'm constantly fascinated by this little life form that I love dearly. So about 5 months ago, my daughter Thea Louise came along, and my dad contacted me, who I've seen on and off over the years, but he said, "I'd like to come see the family, and I've got a present for Edith." So I said, "Okay." And he came and stayed with us for 3 days. He definitely was, in awe of Rachel's cooking. He was checking the structural integrity of the house and kicking the tires on the car and seeing what needed to be fixed. He brought Edith a remote control car, so there was the automotive thing that he could bond with my daughter, and they got on quite well. When he had a free minute, he pulled me aside, and he said, "Boy, you really have a lot going on here, son." he mentioned that he's like, I don't know how you do it, and I couldn't. And he kind of stopped himself. I could tell he wanted to talk about our past, which we've dealt with, by the way. He's been in recovery for 25 years, sober, and he's very active in that and helps a lot of other people in that pursuit. And we've been over everything in the past, so we get along pretty well. But it was very affirming to hear. He said, you're a great dad, Pete, and he's like, I'm really proud of you. And I had never felt that feeling before either. That was just a few months ago. And I learned something from that, that my dad did the best that he could with what he was dealt, and he actually did get help and take care of the problem that he was facing, the big problem in his life. It wasn't necessarily on a perfect timeline, but it also tells me something about me, that I'm a dad with my imperfections, and maybe some of the skills that I have that I'm good at. I have to get my daughters ready for the world. I have to make sure that they are respectful and kind and responsible contributing members to society. And I know that whatever I have to show them, I'm going to do it with love. They have a dad that wants the best for them, wants them to find their version of happiness and peace. I know that I'm always going to love them unconditionally as long as I have the opportunity. So, thank you.
Hi, everyone. I'm Todd. Usually I'm back there doing the sound. I'd like to thank Rev and Pat and Dr. Obsatz for inviting me to do this. I'm going to do my best. I became a father on May 17th, 2017 at 9:22 a.m. Mabel Claire Smith is her name. I had accepted Mike's offer to speak today a few months ago, but wanted to wait until she came before I started. I wanted to see how everything changed the moment she entered our lives. I had a million ideas of what to tell you folks on how and why I am so driven to be a great father. My mother and my sister are what came to mind first. They have been my rocks for as long as I can remember and play the role of both mom and dad for most of my life. They taught me how to love, how to be loved, and what it means to dedicate yourselves to your family. I also thought about JC. I thought about how our relationship has grown over the last 8 years. I thought about how our love for each other never wavered during the tough times we had early on when it seemed like we were trying to mess things up. But love kept pulling us in, and it was clear that we were destined to be together forever. It seemed easy to me to write about all the amazing women in my life because they are the ones who have had the most impact on my life. I started writing, and indeed, it was coming easy. I had it just about done and realized that I was avoiding the main topic today, authentic father love. To be honest, I sat in front of my computer and cried. It's hard for me to talk about my dad because I miss him so much. For me, carrying on his legacy is what drives me to be a great father. Some of the lessons I learned from him, watching and spending time with him. My sister and I spent a few summers at his place outside Nashville, and his wife at the time had 3 sons. It was awesome. To me, it seemed normal for a guy to work all day and come home and cook dinner for his family, and then do those dishes, and then do laundry, and vacuum like a madman. He was in the National Guard at one point in his life, and the military way of doing things definitely stuck with him. He was meticulous, down to ironing a seam down the center of his jeans. His smile was contagious, and he greeted every person with it, no matter what. His mustache was also very inviting for some reason. He had that Tom Selleck thing going on. Unfortunately, I did not get that gene from him. I also thought every dad told their kids they loved them as much as they could. He was never afraid to show that he cared. I think some of it was to make up for lost time, but I could tell he genuinely loved my sister and I. You can't fake something that real. He showed me what it meant to be a family man. He most certainly did not always put his family first, but I know that he wanted to. At the time, we had no idea, but he was battling severe depression. He became distant again, and the summer of 1996 was the last summer we saw him. Later on, after I graduated from high school, I started to experience some depression that was caused by the void of my absent father. I was doing whatever I could to avoid what was eating me up inside. I was angry. It killed me that he didn't get to see me play baseball. It killed me that he didn't get to see me graduate. It killed me that I knew he wouldn't get to meet my wife or be a grandfather to my children. It killed me because I knew deep down that he would give anything to be able to share those moments with me. That's when I finally let spirit take over and I started to live through him. I started to imagine myself as him getting to live out those dreams. I started to realize that I could be all the things that he was and wanted to be if I never let him go and what he taught me. I'm here to let my dad know a couple things that I've never told him. Dad, I want you to know that I will laugh every day and greet everyone with a smile. I will work hard all day and come home and work harder. I will continue to take care of Mom and Sis like I know you want me to. I will tell JC and Mabel that I love them as many times as I can every single day to assure them that I will be there for them as long as I'm alive. I'm going to teach Mabel to be herself no matter what, to be strong and proud of who she is, and even though her last name is Smith, she is still her own unique individual. I'm going to do all this because I learned it from you, Dad. I want you to know that I will never think of you as the man who took his life on July 27th, 1997. I will remember you as the amazing human that you were and keep your spirit with me always. I want you to know that you are a good father. I want you to know that I love you and miss you very much, and I know Sis does too. Last September, at age 33, I was given the chance to keep all the promises I had made to my father. JC was pregnant, and we were 9 months away from being parents. She chose a natural birth, and we attended hypnobirthing classes. If you don't know what the hypnobirthing technique is, it's actually based on the same principles as Unity. Positive affirmations, meditative breathing, erasing negative thoughts connected to certain situations, this one being the act of giving birth, and replacing it with a positive outlook. It was during these classes that I realized that over the last 4 years of working Sundays, memorial services, and weddings, that I had indeed been spiritually fed by the teachings here and hadn't really been aware of it. It turned out that Mabel was breech, and doctors told us that a C-section was the only option. It wasn't easy, but it was out of our hands, and we accepted that. When Mabel was finally introduced to us, it was beyond breathtaking. JC and I were in awe of the fact that we had created something so beautiful. It has been insane and crazy and wonderful being a family. Mabel understands how much her parents love her, and over the course of the rest of our lives, we will do everything in our power to express that to her any way we can. I want to thank all the reverends here at Unity for giving themselves to this community. You are truly making a difference in people's lives, and I am one of them. Finally, I am grateful to Spirit, to Mom, to Dad, to Sis, to JC and Mabel for this incredible opportunity to love. And so it is. Amen.
Oh,
you, Dane. Thank you. At this point, we're going to receive an offering. If you've been fed in any way spiritually here this morning through our messages, our music, our meditation, we invite you to make a gift to Unity Minneapolis. If you're streaming with us today, we also invite you to make that gift. You can do so on a secured website. So let's take our gift in our hand. If you're giving it with someone, hold it together, bless it together, remembering that you have the power to bless. Let us take a deep breath, center ourselves again in this one presence, in this one power. I will affirm our church offertory blessing once, then ask you to affirm it with me, and then silently. Divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Together, divine love flowing through me blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. And now silently. Thank you, God.
Stories of the road. I thank you for the freedom when it came my time to go. And I thank you for the kindness in the times when you got tough. And I know that, Daddy, I didn't say I love you near. His eyes are growing old, but his song runs through my instrument, and his heart is in my soul. My life has been a long attempt to imitate such a man. I am a living legacy to the leader of the band. Being a living legacy to the leader of the band.
So let us take a moment and bless these gifts. And we bless the gifts that's been received in the mail this week. We bless those participating in our consistent giving program, unexpected income program. We bless all of these gifts, and we send them forth to fulfill our vision and mission of a transformed world. Thank you. Thank you, God. And so it is. Amen. You know, one of our core values here is that of prosperous living. And for the month of July, we will begin a new series on prosperity for that month. Four spiritual laws of prosperity. Also during the month of July, beginning on Wednesday evening, July the 5th, I will be teaching a course that's one of my favorite courses to teach, and that's Keys to the Kingdom. Keys to the Kingdom, about living a life of abundance, a life of expansion. And so I invite you to come and take that course with me. We offer that course once a year for the month of July. We have a graduate of that course is going to speak this morning just for a moment or two about what it's meant for her to take that course. Nancy Merrick.
Thank you. Good morning. Those are hard acts to follow. I'm still recovering, thank you. But I stand here a very happy, blessed, and incredibly grateful person. And learning to accept abundance and live an abundant life has been a journey for me. And in 2 minutes, I don't have time to go into why the last 5 years of my life since coming here have brought that lesson home in incredible ways. What I can tell you is that taking Keys to the Kingdom twice, and I'll probably take it again, because learning comes in layers, was a key step in my own spiritual growth. It put me face to face with some of my limiting beliefs, and that had been running my life in the background, unbeknownst to me, specifically about how much abundance or prosperity I would allow in any area of my life. I had limits to that. And the beauty of this work is it didn't mean I had to go dwell endlessly on that belief. Instead, I learned that the spiritual truths that countered those beliefs and focused on them. And through that work, some key beliefs of mine disintegrated and my life changed. I learned I wasn't put on this earth to struggle against adversity my entire life. And to a recovering Calvinist Presbyterian, that was music to my ears. So as one tangible example of the outcome of that work, and there are many, I retired last week from my professional career in a beautiful, touching, and loving way. Although I refer to it as graduated because retirement just sounds way too old and strange. And without the time to go into why that's so amazing, the ability to do that, given the 10 years of transformation leading up to that, I think my sister summed it up really well when she said, "Geez, Nance, it's kind of a miracle." I said, "Yeah, it kind of is a miracle. And without this work, I'm sure I wouldn't be in this place today. I know that. Ready for the next phase and for the vision that I'm creating, co-creating, and that's unfolding in my life. So I stand here a very happy, blessed, and incredibly grateful person. Everyone deserves abundance in their life. And as the Course emphasizes, celebrate this truth in your own life and seize every opportunity to help others prosper. So thank you for letting me do that today.
God bless you, Nancy. There's more information in the Garden Court, and we do encourage you to sign up. We need to have the right amount of material, so please, by all means, sign up in the Garden Court. If you have any questions about the course, you can certainly see me after the service. I just also want to share with you that our beloved Fred Cuneo transitioned on June the 14th. Fred has been an active member of this church for a very long time. His celebration of life service will be held here at Unity Minneapolis on June the 29th at 11 a.m. Would you please hold Fred's family in your thoughts and prayers? I hear children out there. Let's stand and let's bring them in, okay?
We are walking in the light.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So we were in celebration of dads and other men in our lives, and I want to know, we acknowledged as well that sometimes there isn't a dad in the home, and moms do those things really well too. So we want to acknowledge those moms who play that double role for their kids. What does daddy do that you love? They love helping daddy cook food, and in particular, make pancakes. Dads and moms and parents, rock at Unity. Thanks.
Let's appreciate our volunteers up here, okay? Thank you very much. We are so grateful that you have chosen to spend part of this day with us. We're just glad that you're here. We appreciate you. Go forth today, enjoy this day. Speak to at least three people you do not know before you leave our sanctuary today. Let us know together our prayer for protection and our peace song. Together we know that the light of God surrounds us, the love of God enfolds us, the power of God protects us, and the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, and all is swell.
Free.
And his nose, but baby, if you know what I mean, what do you do? Hey, I love being here with you.
Yes, I love being here with you.
One more, I love being here.